Hello and welcome. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to use this week's message to teach and inspire you while you listen.
Let's pray. And now, Lord, speak to us as we open your book. In Christ's name, amen. The Sabbath and the law. James 2, verse 10. James 2, verse 10. I'm getting up today a little bit later than I normally do, so just relax. You can be assured of this. When I sit down, the sermon will be finished. That's the best assurance I can give you. James 2 and verse 10. A very interesting little passage, and one wonders why this even had to be said. For whosoever shall keep how much of the law? The whole law. Yet offend in one point, is guilty of how much? Now, why would that need great to be said? What's edging Julie James to write that? Shouldn't that be obvious? Well, in our society today, people do keep some laws and break others, don't they? Yes. Happens all the time. And so in this situation here, something is being stirred. Look at verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, commit ye sin, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And then verse 11 on the other side, for he that said, wait a minute, okay. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, he's talking, Cliff, about the Ten Commandments. Look at verse 11. He's discussing the Ten Commandments. Maybe you didn't hear me. He's discussing the Ten Commandments. It's the Ten Commandments that he's saying, if you keep just a few and not all, then you break all. It's called contextual preaching, young ladies. You see, I wouldn't know this if I just stopped at verse 10. I would wonder, what law? What is he discussing? But then when I read verse 11 by good elders from Brazil, I realize he's having a conversation about, because he quotes the Ten Commandments. I don't have to guess what law he's discussing. He quotes, I have to calm down. He quotes from the Ten Commandments. I'm just getting started, y'all. I'm already excited. He's quoting from the Ten Commandments. He's saying that if you max keep 9 and break 1, you might as well break 10. In fact, he's actually saying, in God's eyes, that's exactly what you're doing. So this requires some investigation. We can't just leave this here in the Bible and walk away. There are reasons why we can't walk away, because look at 1 John. Maybe we can get some help here. 1 John. Oh, 1 John 3, verse 4. 1 John 3, verse 4. What did I say? Now, Larry, we're going to see if we can get a connect. A connect. Read 1 John 3 and verse 4 with me. Everybody? Whosoever. I need everybody reading. The downstairs people too, please. Together. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin. It is only by the law that I have a knowledge of sin. It's the definer. But what he's saying is that the law is so ultra connected that in dealing with it, I can't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. All 10 must be observed. That's why. Now we know why the pastor has been spending all this time talking about the seventh day Sabbath. Because the last time I looked, the seventh day Sabbath is in the law. Oh my goodness, it's in the law. And remember, we started this series by talking about people that are beginning to make moves in these last days to move away from the seventh day Sabbath and to uplift the first day. Oh, wait till next Sabbath sermon. I can hardly wait. Trying to keep my mind off of it right now while I'm preaching this Sabbath sermon. Well, we found out also that this Sabbath is holy. It's a holy day. Not just a worship day. We learned very clearly the commandment does not say, remember the Sabbath day to worship. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we found that keeping the day holy, Pastor Hayden was very clear on that, means you don't work on it, you don't shop on it, you don't cook on it, you don't do your own pleasures on it. It's a time, and you can't do every day like that. You can't keep every day holy. You can worship though any day you want. T.D. Jakes figured that out. He said that in his sermon. He was right. You can worship any old day you want, but you cannot... You cannot keep every day holy. You just can't do it. So the commandment specific, remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. We learned that. And then we found out that this Sabbath idea carried over into the New Testament. Jesus observed it. The apostles observed it. Jesus thought so much of it that even when he died for our sins, he rested on it. Between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Jesus was resting. He was used to resting on the Sabbath. He did it in Genesis. I wish some of y'all would wake up before you go to sleep. Yeah. When he made the earth, 6 days, he rested. There was nothing exceptional for him to rest after creating. So when he recreated the earth through salvation, he rested again. And the apostles followed the same thing. We read all kind of texts in Acts and so forth. And then we found out that not only are the members of this church and the Seventh-day Pentecostal church and the Seventh-day Baptist church and the Jewish church, not only are we concerned about the Sabbath and understand it, but we found out that many people who observe the first day of the week also know that the seventh day is the Sabbath. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Let's put the statements, because they don't remember. Let's put the statements on the screen here. Statements on the screen. See, I'm throwing them curves because I'm not following the script like I gave it to them. Statements on the screen. Let's just review these quickly now, because we see that we're not standing by ourselves, Brother Steele. There's all kind of people who understand that the seventh day is the Sabbath. And we're going to see today that the seventh day is in the law, and we're finding out that you cannot pick which commandment, Cliff, you and these kids are going to keep.
That's
Got to keep them all. All right, let's read. It is certain, I need everybody reading here, it is certain that our Lord, when on earth, did observe Saturday and did not observe Sunday. If we are consistent, as I have said, they must keep Saturday. That's Church of England. They worship on the first day of the week. But it says if you want to be consistent with the Bible. See, this is the thing that's so critical. The only thing that's going to get people in heaven is following the Word of God. Not the words of men. Now, I appreciate this good brother here because he keeps the first day, but he says, now, if I want to be consistent with this book here, all right, let's see what else we have. Oh, Timothy Dwight, old Dwight. Let's see what Dwight has to say. All right, read. The Christian Sabbath, Sunday, is not in Scripture. No, you can't read by that. You have to pause. Yeah. Start again here. Reading, the Christian Sabbath, Sunday, is not in the Scripture. Do you see that choir? They can't see a thing. I'm going to tell you, that's what it says. Take my word for it, that's what it says. And then, read on, and was not by the primitive church called the Sabbath. Sabbath. Oh, Dwight, Congregationalist. He figured that out way back in 1818. Let's keep reading. Ah, British fellow, Dr. Dale. Let's read. It is quite clear that however rigidly or devoutly, let me say this to you. Some of you remember the day. Some of you are old enough. Not many of you are old enough. But some of you are old enough to remember that Sunday keepers used to really keep Sunday. Oh, yeah. Yes, Sonia, they wouldn't, she's young, I'm going to tell her, they would not cook on Sunday. Go to a baseball game on Sunday, unheard of. Because they believed that Sunday was the, and they know that Sabbath was a holy day. But this brother's saying, no matter how rigidly you keep it, what are you doing? We are not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was founded on a, see, that's that fourth commandment. Remember. A command. Remember. Read on. We can plead no such command. Now, brethren, let's review very quickly here, James. We don't want to be confused, Mary. We have already learned from our preaching thus far, there are only 9 texts in the entire Bible that even mention the first day of the week. Just 9. How many? 8 in the new, 1 in the old. If you're going to find a command, you must find it in one of those 9 texts. But the brother's saying, we got a command for the 7th day. Where's the command for the first day? He's just raising a question. Let's keep reading. Here's another one, Cardinal Gibbons. Big shot. You know, when a man becomes a Catholic cardinal, he's been leading the church for decades. Here's what he says. Read, everybody. You may read the Bible. Look here. No, wait a minute. This brother is a bad fellow here, Wingfield. He's read the Bible from where to where? What did he find? Let's see. And you will not find how many lines? Doing what? Well, let's see what else we got. Yeah. There's a Baptist brother. Do you want to hear what this Baptist brother has to say? Yes. Let's read it. Come on. There was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. But that Sabbath day was not Sunday. It will, however, be readily said, and with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the 7th to the first day of the week. And then he raises the question. I love him. Come on. Where can the record of such a transaction be found? Now, the Catholic brother covered the whole Bible. This brother studied the New Testament. He said it ain't there. The world is full of sincere people, y'all, who believe differently. We cannot take them lightly. We can't mock them. We can't mock them. And give me this camera here. Yeah. Because when they look at me, I want them to see me. And I want you to know. Yeah, I want you to know that when you hear this, there is no levity in this pastor's heart toward you. None. But you do have a problem. If you're going to continue with the Sunday practice, you must understand what you are doing is a tradition, not the Bible. And that's a problem for you to deal with. Okay. Now, so if you keep the whole and break one, you're guilty of how many? And the sermon before this one. Let's get into the stuff for today now. The sermon before this one. We dealt with Paul. We went through some of the difficult texts in the New Testament that people use. And one of their favorite texts is Romans 14 and verse 5, where it says, do not esteem. You heard that one? One day above another? Heard that text? Yeah. Don't esteem one above another. Well, Paul wrote that. Paul wrote that. And we found out from studying Paul that though he wrote that, he was faithful in keeping the seventh day Sabbath. So what does he mean? What does he mean? And we also found out from studying Paul that if we're going to take Romans 14:5, listen to the pastor, don't esteem Brother Allen one day above another. If we're going to take that from Paul and say he has changed something, then we have to accuse Paul of changing the law. Are you following my rationale? The law. Because the fourth commandment that commands the Sabbath is where? In the law. Well, we also found out in Romans 7:12 that Paul believes in the sanctity of the law. That's good. Romans 3:31, he says that the law is permanent, going to be here. And Romans 6:14 and 15, he says, don't even let grace make you think God's going to do away with his law. How did the Sabbath and the law get together? Put the Ten Commandments up there, please. Ah, you see the other picture? Yeah, them tablets, man. That turns the pastor on, them tablets, stone tablets. Yes, sir. Thank you. Now, come on back. Look at this law. Let's read this law together. This is powerful. Come on. Thou shalt have... And I want you to put yourself in... And now, pretend like you're at the Mount of Mount Sinai, sis. And it's on fire! Lord, have mercy. The toe of God set the mountain on fire. Yes. Now it's bubbling and booming, and the people finally said, you go talk to him, we can't handle it. And God, knowing his power and majesty, said, keep them away from the mountain. If they touch it, they die. See, God is so awesome and so powerful, he can't control his own awesomeness. Just keep them away. You're full of sin, I'm holy, I'm perfect. Don't bring them near me. Moses, you come up here. And even you can't see nothing but my backsides. What a mighty God we serve. Put the commandments up there. Okay, so God is speaking these. Read, thou shalt know the gods before me. Who wants to be in front of him? Next, thou shalt not make any graven image. Next, don't take his name in vain. Next, remember the Sabbath. Next, honor your father. Next, don't kill. Next, no adultery. Next, don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. You know, listen to me. You a bad brother when you create everything that exists. Nothing that we can see is here without him. And yet, his brain is so erudite, he can sum himself up in 10 words. This is me. This is me. Then those commandments are broken into two parts. First part, love to God. Read, no gods before me. Don't make any graven images. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. That's how you love God. Oh, wait a minute. Woo. The one about the Sabbath is a part of our love to who? The one about the Sabbath is a part of our love to
God.
You want to love God, you got to. Go to John 15:10. John 15:10. Now, I know I'm jumping around up there, so y'all got to stay with me. It's in the notes. Look for it. John 15:10. Look at this. See, what we're dealing with now, he just said very, very, very clearly, part of loving me is keep the Sabbath. Now, look at John 15:10. This is Jesus talking. You see it? Read. If ye shall, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, Carlson. Jesus said, if you want to love God, then you've got to abide where? In the commandments. In the commandments. And then the second part of the law deals with our love to man. Our love to man. So it says, honor. See? Honor your father and mother. You notice the two sections? Both sections start with the source. Love to God, no gods before me. Love to man, honor your mother and father. Both sections start with the source. True love begins with respecting where you came from. Listen to what I just said. Then the commandments unfold. Now, in the fourth commandment, put it up there by itself, we have the command. Look at that first word. What does it say? And then it's very specific. Look at the next phrase, verse 10. But the... very specific. I keep on trying to figure out, choir. Oh, y'all not the choir, but anyhow, you're sitting up here. I keep on trying to figure out, why was he so specific? And he put that thing at the end of the week, my brother. Because it's a celebration. Let me tell you why. Look at the commandment again. It tells you why. Why we keep it. Go down to... But the heaven of thy God. In it. Come on. Yeah. And all then in the midst. Yeah. See, that's why we keep it. It's a celebration of creation. That's why it comes at the end. See, if God had put the Sabbath on the first day of the week, what was there to celebrate? Light? You got to finish, then you celebrate. When do we celebrate our birthdays? At the end of the year. How can you celebrate a year you ain't lived yet? How can you celebrate a creation that's not finished? Are you with me? So it comes naturally at the end. Now, the Sabbath was not introduced at Mount Sinai. Exodus 15, verse 26. Now, Exodus 15 is five chapters before the Ten Commandments are put on stone. Exodus 15, verse 26. What does it say? Let's read together. And he said, if thou wilt do what? Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his... Whoa. Give ear to his what? This is chapter 15. The Ten Commandments are in chapter 20. Hello? How could he hold them responsible for something they didn't know? See, it's wrong for people to say that the law was given on Mount Sinai. The law was written on Mount Sinai, written out on stone. He told them ahead of time, okay, they're looking at me funny here. Let me take them to another text. Exodus 16. Exodus 16. In Exodus 16, don't have time to read all this, he introduces to them the Sabbath. He brings to their knowledge the Sabbath. He reemphasizes the Sabbath. Remember the story of the manna? Yeah. Told them, 6 days you're going to get it, 7 days you won't get it. Well, they were hard-headed. Look at verse 22 of Exodus 16. Read, and it came to pass, I need everybody reading, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the... Chapter 16. Chapter 6. Tomorrow is the what? And I love this passage because the Sabbath is not mentioned between Genesis 1 and Exodus 16 specifically. But God, who doesn't forget anything, who keeps the calendar, told them, by the way, while you were in slavery for 430 years, I've been counting. And now that you're in the desert, I need to tell you something. What, Lord? Tomorrow's the Sabbath. Come on, somebody. Now, some of them knew about it, Frank, because we'll read that in a minute. They knew about it. Some of them knew about it. All during the days, they knew about it. They knew about it. And we'll see that in just a minute. So God says, tomorrow's the Sabbath. And then look at verse 27. Read. And it came to pass that they went out, some of the people, on the seventh day for together, and they found what? What does the Lord say in verse 28, Michelle? Look at it. And my law. Moses has not brought anything yet down from Mount Sinai.
Right. Right.
See, the Sabbath goes all the way back to creation. So God is saying, hey, even before I write this thing down, you know, and you need to observe. And then when he gets to Mount Sinai, you remember, he goes up. Well, let's read the quote from Patriarchs and Prophets. Let's read that. Read that. Ready? In the connected with the giving of the manna, we have conclusive evidence that the Sabbath was not instituted, as many claim, when the law was given at Sinai. Before, I need everybody reading. Before the Israelites came to Sinai, they understood the Sabbath to be an obligation upon them. They already knew. Moses goes up, stays 40 days. They get weary, ask Aaron to make him a calf. And Aaron does. And then tells the biggest, most ridiculous lie I've ever heard in my life. Have you ever read that? Moses says, Aaron says to his brother Moses, I guess Moses must have said, this man has really been eating way too much manna. He says, I put gold in the fire. It's in the Bible. It's ridiculous. And it came out a calf. And if you notice, Moses doesn't even answer him. How do you answer that? Moses gets upset. He takes the tablets, and what does he do? Throws them down, and he breaks them. Look what happens next. Look what happens next. Look at what happens next. Sabbath. And the law. Exodus 34. This thing blows the mind. Look what happens next. Read with me. Come on. And the Lord, everybody, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee. I love it. Who broke the tablets? So who's going to hew them out? Who wrote the law?
God.
Who's going to write it again?
God.
Ha! Hallelujah. Now, Moses is one of the top prophets, a man educated in the universities of Egypt. He can remember 10 statements. Huh? But the law and the Sabbath in it is so special to God, he will not even trust one of his best prophets. He says, you do the hewing, you broke those. You do the carving, you broke those. But I'll do the writing because, he says very clearly, I want to write on the second tablets the words I wrote on the first tablets. And I don't want nobody between me and my law. law special to God. And when you break it, when you start choosing commandments, the ones you will keep, the ones you won't keep, help me with this, Joy. You make a complete mess out of everything. Messing with God's law, getting stuff, let's bring it out here where they can see it. Fordham, bless you. Fordham's my cousin, you know. You see, the law has always been hard for us to keep. And keeping the law takes more than human strength. You break one of them commandments, first one, no gods before God. Second one, no graven images. Third one, don't take his name in vain. Fourth one, breaking his Sabbath. Lord, have mercy. Fifth one, just respecting your folks. Sixth one, killing people with your tongue, Jesus said, your mouth, all over folk, killing them. What y'all laughing at? Seventh one, committing all kind of adultery, fornication, unholy acts. Eighth one, stealing from God, stealing from people. Isn't it a shame? People who sin just look a mess, don't they? Ninth one, lying. They're lying to your teeth, they're lying. And then coveting. Just coveting, all manner of coveting. Yeah. Yeah. Sin messes you up. Can I get a witness? Sin gets you all messed up, all dirty. Now, the problem is, when you get all messed up and dirty like this, the problem is, you never look as bad to yourself Now, sister's laughing at me. See, she's laughing at my sinful condition. Our sins never seem as bad to us. Now, to you all, I look what? Go on and say it. He looks, her past looks horrible. Listen, the nature of sin is to dull you to your condition. If I say like this long enough, Rihanna, I'll feel just fine, really. But if I could see myself, go to James. Pastor could just see himself. Maybe he would not be content with the horrible condition that I can imagine I'm in. Oh, look at James 1. And verse 23. I need y'all to read that with me. Maybe I can get some help. James 1:23. You're reading? Come on. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Keep on reading. Oh, this is the Ten Commandments. Yeah. See, because the text says, let me start and read the text. The text says, Verse 25, Lord have mercy, read it. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty. I was doing just fine till I picked up this mirror. See, the function of the law, Keith, is just to show you what a confounded mess your face is. Come on, somebody. God's law has never saved anybody, but it will show you that you need to get the dirt off your face. Can I get a witness in this place? Lord have mercy. Look at me. Done put gods before God. Taking his name in vain. Got all kind of idols in my life. Breaking his Sabbath. Lying, stealing. Immorality. I was doing fine until I picked this up. I didn't care how much y'all laughed because I really couldn't see my condition. You see, when you do away with God's holy law, you remove God's tool to show you your condition. Now, Paul says, I can put the mirror down. And as long as I don't look at it, I'm just as sharp as you. But when I look in it, what do I see? Huh? What do I see? Dirt. All manner of dirt. Now, how can I get it off? Maybe if I rub my face, would that clean it? Huh? All it does is show me. I can't clean it off with this. Go to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Perhaps you need some help. Yeah. Perhaps you need some help. Carlson, go to that mic there and read that Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Turn that mic on so we can hear this brother read the word.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
What's going to clean me up?
Grace.
I said, what's going to clean me up?
Grace.
Go to 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Ken, go up to the mic and read that verse.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Oh, that's Melaleuca's gold bar. See, the Bible says, buy of me gold, tried in the fire. So there's some cleaning that's got to go on. What does it? Grace. Now, you notice something? See, I'm going to tell you about the danger of sin. You notice something? It don't come off with just one washing. Yeah. Got to work at that thing. Yeah. Lord have mercy. See, it's not reading the law. You got to submit to the scrubbing, cleansing grace of God. And you notice something? As I clean myself, look at here. Yeah. As I clean myself, what's happening to the rag? By his stripes, we are healed. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. You see it? Yeah. He transfers my dirt to himself. Well, not too bad. Got rid of God's before God. Got rid of don't take his name in vain, graven images. Got rid of don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Got rid of don't lie. Don't covet. Took care of 9 of them. Problem is, if you only clean up 9 and you still got dirt on your face, your whole face is dirty. That's the problem with picking commandments. That's why those who watch this tape, those who faithfully and valiantly believe the first day is the Sabbath, that's why you've got a problem, because you've got this fourth commandment and you cannot decide that 9 will do and 1 will not, because as long as you've not gotten all your face, your whole face is still dirty. So you got to reach down and grab that gold bar one more time. Can I get a witness here? You got to scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub some more until everything is the way it ought to be. Whoso keepeth the whole law and yet offendeth in one point, is how guilty? I said, is how guilty? He's guilty of all. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ignoring any commandment, I don't care which one it is, is serious in your life. And some of you have got stuff going on that's unacceptable to God. And you can walk in here all you want to with 9 straight and 1 messed up. You can come here all you want to with 8 clear and 2 not fixed. You can come here faithful to 7 and 3 all over the place, and your whole life is dirty. Unacceptable. But Jesus says, give me the rag. Let me wash. It's going to be painful. It may take several cleansings. But if you give me the rag, if you surrender the rag to me, I'll wash you and make you clean. Whoso keepeth the whole law, yet offendeth in one point, is what? Come on, Deb.
Freely give. and trust Him in His presence daily.
Somebody here is dirty. You've been choosing what commandments you will obey. And you now realize, until all is on the altar with God, until every part of His law is written in your heart, and His grace has covered you, there's still dirt. And the Jesus we serve today is willing to change that. So my first appeal, you want your whole face clean. You want your whole face clean. I don't need to know where the dirt is. It's none of my business. But you want your whole face clean. And today the mirror of God's law is held up in front of your face and you see it's not right. And you're asking God quietly but sincerely for the cleansing. You want your whole life to be His. Truly His. This is not an appeal to join the church. It's an appeal for the cleansing. The law is staring at you and you see it's not all clean. You want the cleansing. If that's your need, why don't you stand on your feet right now? Second appeal. You've been listening to these sermons. Maybe you'll even hear this sermon or see this sermon later on a DVD or on a CD. And the more you hear about this Sabbath truth, the more you know this is something that must be a part of your life. Maybe you don't know where a Sabbath-keeping church even is. I'm talking to you though, those of you now who are listening to me, hearing this later. But you want God to show you how this Sabbath can be a part of your life. I want to pray for you. And so in your room, in your car, wherever you are listening to this, just raise your hand toward heaven. God will see it. And He will show you the way. He will show you the way. But you're in this church, you're in this room, and you want this Sabbath truth to be a part of your life. You've been listening, you're under conviction, and you'd like to take your stand today about the Sabbath. You want to say, when you come up here, you're not joining a church, you're saying, I want the Sabbath to be a part of my life, and you're here.
If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and check back next week for another message. Thank you for visiting with us. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.